Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is Mark Rawson, and this show is being pre-recorded on November 14th so that we can provide a great show for you on Thanksgiving. I'm so happy to welcome everybody back to the radio show. This is actually one of our shows in the beginning of the series. We just launched the radio show Spiritual Connections Radio. And if you want to find out more about Spiritual Connections Radio, our radio lineup for the rest of the year and what great shows we have coming your way, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. So on this Thanksgiving Day, I just want to welcome everybody here. I hope everybody's had safe travels and that you're enjoying time with your family today. Today we're going to talk about forgiveness and gratitude, and I'm going to bring on my co-host, who's going to actually act as our guest today to talk about this great topic with us today. We have with us Pamela Latour, who's going to be on the radio today. Hey, Pam, thank you for being here, and I hope you're enjoying, when this actually airs, you'll actually be enjoying some time with your family, and I'll just kind of let you introduce yourself and talk a little bit about the type of teachings you do, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay. Well, as Mark said, my name is Pamela Latour. I am a medium, and I have been creating and delivering seminars for the last close to 15 years. I've spent 20 years in Europe and in the Middle East studying and teaching, and I've just been back in Florida for the last few years, a couple of years, and I've started my work up here.
That's excellent. So, I so much appreciate having you on the radio with us today and being able to talk about this great topic. I know this topic is close and dear to my heart, and that has to do with not only forgiveness, but also gratitude. And we know if anybody out there has been following the series, such as The Secret and The Power, we know the third book that just came out called The Magic is based on the whole idea of gratitude. So it's always great to see that we're not the only spiritual people on the block that are actually talking about certain things, and that we don't have a corner on anything. As I always like to teach, as I teach things, we don't believe that we have the only way. We're going to introduce our way for today. And, as we get into it, I know we're going to talk about forgiveness and we're going to talk about gratitude, but before we get there, I know we have to kind of frame this, and the way we're going to do that is we're going to have you talk about how things work and just get into the whole nature of what makes up the whole background on forgiveness and gratitude. So I'm going to let you take it from there.
Great. Thank you, Mark. When I started putting this program together today, I started thinking about what people normally say about forgiveness. And one of the things that you hear pretty regularly is, forgiveness is for you, not for the person that's hurt you. But they don't really explain how or why that works. So I thought I would start today with that framework. And some of this you've heard before, and some of it you'll hear in a new context. And I wanted to, in 1 hour, cover a huge variety of concepts so that we can get to the root of the understanding of how and why forgiveness changes you. First of all, everything is made of energy, and I'm sure you've heard that before, but it's very true. Everything is made of moving particles of light. It's not solid. Actually, most quantum physicists have said that matter is made, there's no matter in matter. It's made of 99.99999% empty space.
Mm-hmm.
Every emotion, we're going to jump a little bit, and then I'll tie it all in together, because we've got to cover a lot of information, as I said. Every emotion has a moving speed or vibration. Since everything is emotion, our emotions are also moving. Now, negative emotions move very slowly, obviously, like grief or apathy, any very slow-moving emotion. It moves your body and your thoughts very slowly as well. Now, positive emotions move quickly and move the atoms in your body more quickly. So someone that's happy, that's in love, someone that's in enthusiasm, they're moving quickly, they're talking quickly, they think quickly. It changes everything. You'll see they stand up straighter, they're more in the flow of life. Now, when you're in resistance to a perceived injury or insult, say somebody has hurt you or upset you in some way, you resist that and block the experience. And when you do that, you actually push away with your energy against what you're experiencing or what you perceive as hurt or injury. And when you do that, you literally block the flow of energy into your body, and your heart tightens, which in turn puts stress on the other organs in your system and slows your whole body down. Now, when you fail to forgive, you hold your body in that closed state. It's a tightening that you walk through life with. And
that makes a lot of sense.
It does. This flow that flows through you normally from the universe just is pinched off. So every time you think of this person that's hurt you, every time you remember the experience, your heart tightens a little more. Now, the interesting thing about resistance or pushing against an experience is that we're all electrical. You know, we think in an electrical way. The electricity in our brain creates the synapses, which pulls the thoughts together and creates impulses to change things in our body, like move our muscles and operate in life. Well, that same electricity generates a resistance against what a perceived experience that somebody else is doing this to you. When you resist the experience and you physically push away, what happens is it slows the energy down between you and the experience. That resistance actually sticks the experience to you. So what you resist persists. That's the reason for that. Because as you push away with your electrical energy and the electrical experience is moving in on you, what happens is it actually stays in your body. It tightens up your heart. It stays in your body. So that maybe something that happened yesterday that was happy, it doesn't pop back up again right away, because that happiness just flows right through you. It was a continuous, happy flow that you feel good about, where something that you resisted, you wake up in the morning and you're thinking about it again.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting, because we're actually going to talk about this a little bit more this month, because both of us are going to have on our radio show Ariel and Shia Kane, who wrote some, they've been in the middle of writing a number of different books and everything. One of their books is called Working on Yourself Does Not Work. And when we have them on the radio show later this month, one of the statements you said is one of the things they talk about, which is what you resist persists. And we're going to actually learn a lot more about that when we talk to them later this month. So it's incredible to see all these synchronicities. Thank you. Go ahead.
You're welcome. Now, to carry on with this concept of forgiveness for just a minute, the experience any experience is created by a commingling of your attention and intention and the people around you and what they intend and what they need for their karmic experience. Now, basically what that means is that nobody is there by themselves affecting your life without any say from you at all. There is no such thing as being a victim, since every experience is co-created. That means that everything that happens to us, but we imagine it first, we create everything by imagining it, feeling it in the moment, and then releasing it to the universe. So things that happen to us are oftentimes small little thoughts that pop up in our head, and we feel what it would feel like if it happened in that moment, and then we release it, even if they're things that we don't really want in our lives. Well, what happens is other people step into your world to generate that experience for you. So we're playing each other's game. It's like a big chess set. And if we are operating in an unaware state, we wake up in the morning and we don't create who it is that we are today. We just kind of get pulled into the chaos of life. I'm sure that's happened to
you. I have a question for
you. Go ahead.
Can you expand on or maybe give me an example? Because you were talking about experiences created by the commingling of intention and intention. Can you tell me the difference between attention and intention?
Yes. Attention is the energy wave that emanates from the essence of who we are. In other words, if you get back down to the basics, who are you really? Who are you really? Are you your thoughts? No. You can separate yourself from your thoughts and observe them. So obviously you're not your thoughts. Are you your feelings? No, because you can separate yourself from your feelings. Are you your experiences? No. Are you the roles that you play, like being a mother or a father or a sister or a neighbor or a cousin? Those roles, that's not who you are either. So because you can change all of those things. So if it's all changeable, then what is stable? What's stable? The only stability is that attention flow, and that attention flow is actually your essence, who you are. That attention flow is you, the observer, looking out into the world. And with that attention, attention actually generates the experience. Now, this is kind of deep for maybe a lot of our readers, but I'm going to explain this a little bit more. In quantum physics, they talk about the difference between a wave and a particle. In other words, when they started trying to figure out, okay, what is matter anyway? What is it? They knew it wasn't real. It didn't really have a solidity that it looked like it had. So when they started looking closer, they realized that sometimes a particle, a subatomic particle, in other words, a particle that made up an atom, sometimes it behaved like a wave, which would be the potential of all of life. It had unlimited potential. It was a wave of energy. And sometimes it would collapse itself into a piece, a particle of something. And what the scientists realized is sometimes it behaved like one thing and sometimes it behaved like another based on the attention. So when a scientist would focus attention on a wave, it collapsed that wave into a particle. Attention actually creates matter, which is phenomenal, because if you pay attention to what your attention is on, you'll see that often you'll experience a thought that you had at one point or maybe something that's been in your system and in your thought process for a long time, something that's been in there 2 seconds. All you have to do to generate an experience is to imagine it, to feel what it feels like in that moment, and then let it go. And that experience, unless you get in your own way, will show up in your life. So oftentimes we play, we're in this chess game with other people around us. In other words, we wake up, we don't generate who we are. We move out into the world, and someone else's upset or someone else's drama shows up in our lives, and we jump in. Sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes it's our drama and someone else jumps in. Either way,
that makes a lot
we
of sense.
Are, yeah, either way, we're responsible for it. It's not something that happens to us. We're not the victims of life. So anyway, that's what I wanted to say about that, because if you look at forgiveness from that perspective, it doesn't make any sense to blame someone else for what they did to you when you had the biggest part in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a hard thing to come to terms with. But we are all connected together. At some level, we're all one. We're all one energy, one beautiful, moving, evolving energy. Now, and this life is more like a dance than it is a dodgeball game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole dodgeball game, where most people see life as, okay, the ball is coming at my head and I got to dodge it and just try not to get hit too much. It's more, but life isn't really like that, even though that's the way that most people perceive it. It's more like a dance where others play out the role that you need for your drama. Now, you can't change anything in life if it's someone else's fault, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And,
I mean, you can only be responsible for your own stuff. I mean, it's a big idea when it comes to coaching that you're never going to change somebody else.
That's it. Well, it's not even so much changing someone else as much as if you're not driving the car, you know, you're in the back seat, you feel like the victim because you have no control of where you're going. Responsibility means sitting in the driver's seat and changing the direction of the car. And so many times people walk through their life blaming everyone for everything that happens to them, and that's why there's no evolutionary strength in that particular lifetime, because they never drive the car. It's always someone else's fault. It's always someone else's responsibility. And because of that, they don't grow.
Mm-hmm. I think probably one of the hardest things, when I was listening to what you were talking about earlier, I think one of the hardest things I have to do is, you were talking about the fact that we are not our thoughts, we are not our feelings and stuff like that. But I think as an individual, and I think most of us on our spiritual journey have such a hard time with this, and that is doing that separation of our feelings and our thoughts or our stories and stuff like that, and being able to get to that space where we can observe.
Right. That happens by awareness, by clarity, and by creation. You know, I'm sure you've heard the saying that life is not about finding yourself, it's about creating yourself. Have you heard that before?
Yes, I have.
Well, the same is true for enlightenment. The same is true for awareness. The same is true for anything. If you begin creating yourself as the person you would like to become, that energy will manifest in your life. In other words, you want to be an enlightened master. You want to be, or just a happy person, whatever you choose in this life to evolve to. And you can see yourself at the end of your life being that. Try being it right now. In other words, you take the clarity and the energy and you write it down. I'm so happy and grateful now that this is who I am. I am a master of my own life. I understand the dimension that I live in and can operate easily within it and stay unscathed. In other words, I am happy. I'm stable. Nothing shakes me. That kind of energy will give you a sense of I'm creating myself, and it'll give you control of third-dimensional reality. It's simply a question of you don't need to go on a quest for 50 years to find your spirituality. You're already spiritual. What you need to do is just decide who you want to be in this life, in this dimensional frequency. And as you write it, as you feel that energy moving through you, because even at first if it's pretending, you know, pretend that it's real, it's true, until you feel it. Once your body feels that this is the reality, your body will automatically go into auto-create, because that's what bodies do. Bodies are holographic memory units. In other words, everything is made of light. Your body remembers everything within the cells, and it will automatically reproduce what it's familiar with or what it's experienced in the past, because you've told it this is who you are. And you have like 60,000 thoughts a day that you've had yesterday and the day before and the day before that holds that life in place. So your body pretty much thinks it knows you. Now, your body is a very literal system. So if you tell your body, okay, we're changing gears now. This is who I am. This is who I am. I am a powerful, loving, amazing master who is the light of my world, and everyone around me benefits from what I give. Everyone around me learns from who I am, and as I proceed through my life, I learn as well. Do you see what I mean? Once you generate that kind of energy and you get your body to believe it's true, your body will automatically start generating that experience. And spiritual experiences aren't any different than buying a new car. You're still generating, because buying a new car is also a spiritual experience. It's coming from a spiritual energy. That energy that you take from the universe, bring through your attention and focus. The focus collapses those waves into particles and brings that experience right in front of you. Now, anyway, sorry, I'm getting excited, but I just love
it. I love it.
I love this topic. So let's see, where were we on the forgiveness path? You can't change anything in life if it's someone else's fault. Responsibility puts you back in power, and it puts you in a proactive position. So by deciding, okay, whatever happened to me, however I was hurt, however I was injured, I had at some level responsibility for that situation. Maybe the person that hurt me was actually just playing it for me. Maybe it was a gift so that I could learn.
It's really hard, I think, in those situations to look at things like that as a gift, isn't it?
For sure, until you understand the background of it, which is really why I've been going into this detail today. Because if you say, okay, well, this is some terrible thing that happened to me as a child, and personally, I have, like many of us, I've had an extremely rough childhood, and I had a parent who was really in not a very clear situation and a very sad life. And because of that parent, I struggled through my childhood. And then after, you know, he's passed on long ago. And you say, I need to forgive to release this energy from my body so that every time I thought of him, I didn't get all upset. Every time I thought of him, my heart didn't tighten, so that it didn't affect my life, so that it didn't hurt my health. And so I started the process of forgiveness, and you get to a point where you think you've processed it. And every once in a while, it would come up again like an onion where you're peeling layers off, and I would process it again. And then one day, the thought occurred to me, what if this isn't at all how I perceived it? Because most of what I perceive isn't even accurate. the solid matter that I see around me isn't even accurate. If you pulled consciousness out of the matter, there would be nothing left. In other words, if you took the room that your audience is in right now, whatever room you're in, and you took yourself out of it, you locked the door, you turned the light off, you weren't thinking about it, there were no consciousness bugs or nothing in the room, bumping into the walls, nothing that would have any consciousness at all. What would happen is the matter in that room would bleep out of existence, like in What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yeah, good movie.
Yeah, it was great. Now, if that's true, then most of what I perceive isn't real, isn't the way I see it anyway. Well, we won't use the word real, but it's not the way that I see it. So what about this father thing? What if it's not the way that I've seen it? What if this father was actually doing me a favor? Because how could I possibly be the person that I am now without that experience? Would I be as compassionate? Would I be as interested in other people? Would I be able to feel the pain? Would I be there if I hadn't gone through that? And the answer is absolutely not. I wouldn't have looked as hard as I looked for answers. I wouldn't have moved into myself as much as I have. I wouldn't have become the medium that I am because I always kept one foot in both dimensions. Where most children at the age of 7, they pull out. Their life is safe. They pull out of that dimension that they came from, and life becomes very solid for them here. Where because my life wasn't solid or stable here, I kept one foot in both dimensions. So the truth is that I would never have become who I am without him. So was there a pre-existing agreement? Even though it was terribly painful, even though I struggled and struggled, was there a pre-existing agreement? How would I know that from here? And who are we to judge that from here? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's vital to look at life from a much bigger picture when you're talking about forgiveness. Because once you forgive, your heart releases that energy and all the pain comes up and you're looking at the pain again. Now you have a choice at that point. You have a choice of either keeping your heart loose and really being aware what your heart feels like and breathing into it, just feeling the pain and letting it float away, just like happiness does when happiness moves through you, just letting it float away. Or you have a choice of tightening your heart and pushing it back down into your body and letting it come back for another day. What you resist actually becomes your neurosis for the future. And I don't think anybody wants any more craziness in their lives. So from the position of responsibility, forgiving someone else is easy, as you created it all to begin with. Now, even though that's tough, as you mentioned, it's really tough to grasp that at first, to say, okay, I had something to do with this horrible thing that happened to me. But once you do that, once you really get it, what happens is you can change it. Now, obviously, you can't change the actual occurrence. For example, you take a coin and you flip the coin up in the air with your thumb. Coin's in the air. It's twirling, twirling, twirling. As long as, and that's like a wave, a particle wave. As long as that coin is up in the air twirling, you can generate the end result. In other words, you can say, I feel that if this happened to me or as this happens to me, this is how it feels. And you can generate the experience of that coin hitting the table either heads or tails. You can do that. Once the coin hits, there's nothing really you can do about changing it. The only thing you can do at that point is change your reaction to it and what you learn from it and how you evolve in this direction, in your spiritual direction. In other words, the quality of your questions, and Anthony Robbins says this, this is where I got this, now that I think about it, the quality of your questions is determined, or is the quality of your life is determined by the quality of your questions. That's how it goes. So the better your questions, the better your life goes. And if you experience something negative and you ask questions like, well, why does this always happen to me? Obviously, that's just going to put you into a spin and you'll never get any answers or really change anything in your life. Taking responsibility and saying, what did I need to get from this? If it's true that I created this experience, then what would I need to tell myself? Why would I be doing this for me? Now, that answer will change things for you.
Hey, Pam. Let's go ahead and just take a quick break. Just update everybody. You are listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. And if you want to find out more about our radio show and our upcoming radio shows that are coming up this year and going into next year, you can actually see our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And today, on Thanksgiving, we want to wish everybody a happy and safe Thanksgiving to everybody and hope that you're spending some time with family or enjoying time with others. Today we have Pamela Tor on with us, who's giving us the framework and the background behind forgiveness and gratitude. And we're so honored to have Pam on the radio with us today. And with that said, I'm going to hand it back over to you, Pam.
Well, thanks. So we were talking about forgiveness, Mark. And basically, to wind up the forgiveness segment, I wanted to talk about forgiving as healing, as it loosens the tightening of your heart and releases the negative emotion from your life. In other words, we talked about breathing into the experience, being aware of how tight your heart is or how loose it is, and consciously releasing the energy from your heart or relaxing your heart, because at that point it releases the negative emotion. When the vibration of your body goes up from the unstuck state after you release that emotion, disease that may have been started from the stuck energy can no longer hold together. Now, basically what that means is when everything is in vibration, disease also has a very low, slow-moving vibration, like grief, for example, very slow-moving vibration. So let's say that you have been stuck in grief for a long time by something that happened to you long ago that you were unable to forgive. Now, when you begin looking at this and making an effort to forgive, the energy comes up. I don't mean focusing, also I want to point this out, I don't mean focusing on a past negative experience for a long time. I'm talking about a few minutes here. So you let it come up, you look at it, you let yourself feel it. You don't shove it down in your body. You relax your heart and let that energy just move away from you. You let it move away from you. That's a good way to say it. Now, I mentioned already how we create life. We create by imagining something that would be interesting to have, or sometimes in a negative way. If you're in fear, you imagine something that you'd be afraid to have happen. You feel it in the moment as though it was happening in this very moment, and then you release it to the universe. Now, I know that most of our audience probably is not a big horror movie fan. I'm certainly not. But there are times when I've walked through my living room, my teenagers had horror movies on, and you stop for a minute. You know that it's just a box. You know that the guy with the axe is not running at you. But yet, after a minute or two, you go into fight or flight. Your body doesn't know the difference. Now, that's an important thing to note, because if you understand your body is completely literal, number one, horror movies could ultimately affect you and hurt you, so not a good thing to go to. But on a positive note, if you imagine yourself doing something wonderful, you imagine yourself being in a in an amazing place, doing exactly what you want to do in life. And you feel what that feels like, and then you let it go. It cannot help but happen. It has to happen. It's like throwing a ball up in the air and wondering if it's going to come down. It has to come down. The only thing that would stop it from coming down is if you banged it out of the way as it was coming down. You know, you have to stay out of your own way, and you do that by writing down the experience. This is what I really want in my life. So you take it out of the concept of want, and you bring it into the moment, and you say, I'm so happy and grateful now that this is my life. This is my experience. This is who I am. This is what I have. This is what I do. And within that, and, you know, I teach a seminar called The Keys of Life, which goes into this in much more detail and brings it clearer into someone's life, so it's more applicable. But I think we can start in a very light way. Most of the people that have listened to the show, I'm sure, have listened to The Secret and What the Bleep Do We Know and that sort of things. And so the concept is you don't ask and believe and receive as much as you imagine and you feel, and then you let it go. You release it into the universe. You don't dictate as to how it's coming. Now, as we get more and more proficient at this, we write it down, we look at it in the morning, for example, and we feel it in our bodies as though it's absolutely real. Once you get your body convinced that it's a real experience, and you'll be able to feel it, it'll sort of click into your body where it feels like a real experience. At that moment, you can stop creating it. You stop thinking about it. You release it to the universe because you know it's coming. One of the things I say regularly is patience is when you know for sure it's coming. So if you begin doing this regularly in your life, it changes to magic. Now, this is where we get into gratitude, because remember what I said in the very beginning of the program where I was talking about every emotion has a vibration. Mm-hmm. And a slow-moving emotion like apathy, grief, fear, those slow-moving emotions move your body. The atoms and molecules in your body actually moves much slower than it would if you were up toward cheerfulness, happiness, enthusiasm, which is a much faster-moving energy, which moves your body faster. Now,
I do have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Can you talk about how important is it that we forgive ourselves? I know we talked a lot about forgiving others and talking about recognizing the state of what's occurring in our life and how things might be unfolding. But how important is it to forgive ourselves and not be so hard on ourselves about some of the experiences we're having in life?
That's a great question. It's a great question, because often we talk about forgiving other people, but yet the heart still stays tight because you don't forgive yourself. I think it's vitally important. Oftentimes when we're harsh on the world and we're judgmental on the world, it's because we're even more so with ourselves. And people say, well, yeah, I love myself, but there's no real love there. The things they say to themselves, they never say to their children or their spouse or the other people in their life that they love. There are negative, the word is actually mem, negative mems or negative viruses that exist within this third dimensional reality in mass consciousness. Now, basically what that means is that there are, it's like a negative mental virus that flows through all of mankind. And these viruses contain comments like, or emotions like, I'm not good enough, I don't deserve, and these same negative emotions or these same negative feelings flow through everyone. Now, where you put your attention, however, is how successful or unsuccessful you become in life. Because if you focus on the I'm not good enough and emotions of maybe embarrassment or failure, what happens is you actually generate more of that. Now, the concept of forgiveness basically means that you look at yourself as though you were your own child, as an example. And you say, okay, if I was my own child and this happened to me, what would I do? Would I forgive them? Of course. Of course you would. If your child did what you did, or if someone that you really loved did what you did or experienced what you experienced, of course you would forgive them. So it's a level of coming to terms with yourself and really flowing that love to you. Now, what I said earlier about creation and writing it down applies to every aspect of your life, including this. So if you would really love to, if you really love to begin loving your life and be happier, that whole concept of forgiving yourself needs to happen. You need to heal. And so what I'd suggest is you write a brief creation. It's not an affirmation, because an affirmation doesn't contain the emotion. Where you want a creation, you want something that can is the whole package that your body will actually start manifesting for you. So you say, I'm so happy and grateful, as an example. I'm so happy and grateful now that my life is open and loving, and I really love myself and forgive myself for anything I've done. Now, from that perspective, life can change. Does that answer your question, Mark?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Now, I want to go back for a minute to the, I was talking about gratitude. Oh, yeah. We create by imagining and feeling it in the moment and then releasing it into the universe. We are all connected together. At some level, we're all one. So those same experiences that we were talking about in a negative way a few minutes ago about forgiveness really applies to, as well, it applies to positive things. In other words, people feel what's in your energy field. When they come around you, they feel it, they want to be a part of it, and it becomes like a dance to help you generate what you want in life. So people will suddenly show up to support you. They suddenly show up to help you where there was no one before. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, let's go back to the gratitude thing. Everyone wants to know that you've seen them and heard them. Everyone wants to be loved. Now, from a position of hurt or injury, it's almost impossible to flow love to anyone because your focus is on you. Your focus is on being the victim, on being hurt. Now, we've talked about how to release that and how to heal yourself. So let's say you've got yourself to a point where you really do feel good about yourself. You feel good about your life. Where do you go from there? Well, you focus out from the position of service. Now, that doesn't mean that you have no awareness of yourself. On the contrary, it actually means that you walk out into life, into your world, with a concept of your own essence. And you get that concept by creating it, by meditation, feeling it, and generating that love within yourself. Then you're in a position to flow love to other people as well. And everyone only wants to be heard. They only want to be seen. They only want to be loved. That's really the impulse that we're all struggling with, that we're all suffering from. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk about being grateful. That's where I was when a few minutes ago. The whole gratitude thing. When you were, I was talking about emotion and moving slow and moving fast. Gratitude is a very, very fast-moving emotion, and it's very close to the speed of love. Gratitude is actually a level of love for yourself, your world, whatever it is that you're feeling gratitude about. Now, being grateful, and this is Thanksgiving Day, it's extremely appropriate to feel this gratitude, but I'd like to give you some keys to carry this gratitude through the year because it will make you happy. Now, this gratitude, as you're walking through life, if you look at someone, anyone in your life, and you have a thought about them, I'm so grateful that they've showed up in my life, that they, whether it's the guy behind the counter in the store or your neighbor or your child or your parent or whoever it is, if you start flowing gratitude toward people in your world, what will happen is that gratitude actually speeds up the molecules and the atoms in their body. And people start feeling so much better when you're around. And not only that, it's a form of healing for them as well, because love heals. Gratitude is a level of love. Love heals because, not because of some airy-fairy concept of love. Love heals because it actually speeds up the molecules and the vibration of the person's body that you're loving. And when you speed up the molecules in their body, what happens is disease and virus and bacteria are moving very slowly. So you speed up the atoms in their body, which speeds up the molecules in the cells, and guess what happens? The virus, the bacteria, the whatever issue that they are having doesn't hold together anymore. It can hold together. It's moving too fast. It breaks it up. Now, this particular information I got from, this was channeled information, because there was one point where I was studying the Bible, and I studied lots of different texts and sciences and everything I could get my hands on for many years, trying to figure out how life worked. And one of the things I came up with was there was a Bible story about Jesus when he was at the temple, and this man came up and didn't want to disturb Jesus, thought he was, you know, very powerful teacher and didn't want to go near him, didn't even want his attention. He just thought, if I touch his robe, I'll get better. And that's what happened. He touched his robe and Jesus felt it immediately and turned around. And the man was instantly cured. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, how did this happen? Because there was another point in the Bible where Jesus said, anything you can do, anything I can do, you can do and more. So, okay, how did he do it? And this, a lot of this information was channeled information, because if you flow love at a very high frequency, you actually can heal someone without even touching them, really without even touching them. Because you're speeding the energy of their body up so fast that that energy, that disease, can't hold together anymore. Phenomenal information. Now, the whole concept of gratitude is fascinating because, first of all, it changes you. If life is lived with an element of gratitude, the daily humdrum becomes a sacred ritual. Moving through lives in a sacred way. The second thing is a thought of gratitude immediately raises the speed of your body, and what you are attracting, your life gets better. In other words, the higher your vibration, you're attracting things with also that higher vibration, and you're happier. The intention of serving life by loving life will create a life of heaven on earth. Everyone in your life will be seen and heard by you. People will be happier around you. Aristotle said, when you are what we repeatedly do, we are what we repeatedly do, excuse me. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Try developing the habit of creating a thought of gratitude toward everyone you meet. It will change your life and theirs. Now, Mark, I was thinking about just taking the last few minutes of the show, if that's possible, and doing a little bit of meditation. Can we do that?
Yeah, we have roughly about 9 minutes left, and we just have to do some information at the very end. So why don't you go ahead and lead right into that?
All right, we'll just take a minute. All right, for those of you that are listening at home and not in the car, close your eyes and take a deep breath into your body. Release the energy, any stress, any tension. Take another deep breath. Feel your body fill up with the air. And as you breathe out, I want you to release the air in your whole body along with any stress and tension. Now, I'd like you to put your attention on your chest, your heart chakra, and feel yourself sitting in your chest, if that's possible. If it's not possible, just pretend that you're in your chest, in your heart chakra. Take a deep breath in, into your heart, release the energy. Now, in your mind's eye, I want you to picture someone in front of you that you truly love, that you think is someone that has been in your life a long time, or maybe a short time, or maybe even someone that's passed away. But someone in front of you, I want you to see them standing there and open their eyes and open your eyes and look deeply into their soul. And I want you to say to yourself, I love you so much. Thank you for being in my life. Thank you for loving me so much. And I want you to feel that love flow back from them. Now, as you focus on them, I want you to feel your heart open and love flow out and around them, enveloping them in love. Feel what that feels like. And feel their love flowing around you so that you've generated this beautiful cocoon of love. Now, I want you to see them step away, and I'd like you to see in front of you, in a long, huge line of people, everyone that's in your life right now. You don't have to think of every face. I want you to just get the concept of every person that you've met, that's ever been in your life, and I want you to see this line go on and on, because we've all met so many people in our lives. And I want you to open up your heart and flow down that line of people. I want you to flow this huge ribbon of love and surround all of them with your love. And I want you to feel that love coming back, no matter what your experience is with that person. Take a deep breath into that love. Release those people, release any negative energy from anyone you've ever met, and just flow that love and hold that love in place in your world. Now I want you to let all that line disappear and just fill your whole body with love. Say, thank you so much for my life. Thank you so much for my body. Thank you so much for the people and the places and the things that I am. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving Day.
Thank you. That was beautiful. So,
you're welcome.
With that, yeah, I'm just going to let that sit for a minute and just feel that and go back to some of the questions I had about gratitude as we wind up the show.
Okay.
You know, I think it was such a powerful statement you said when you said everyone wants to know that they've been seen and heard, you know, that they've been seen and that you've actually heard them. You know, truly listening, you know, truly listening to people. I don't know how many of us truly listen or how many people, how much we're really present. And everyone wants to be loved, you know. And I thought that was very, very powerful in what you said there. Can you go back and talk a little bit about writing a gratitude statement in the morning?
Well, that's a great question, because it's a good way to bring your vibration up in the morning and start your day off on a lovely note. And a gratitude statement is a very personalized thing, so I can't dictate what you're grateful for. But what I can do is give you sort of an outline. And the outline, you could start with, I'm so happy and grateful now that I have another day, now that my life is so full, so happy, so content that I can share that energy with the people around me. You know, the happiest people are the people that live their lives in service of others. Now, I don't mean that in a doormat sort of perspective. I mean that from the perspective of the more you hear people, the more you really see them, the more that you're really present with them, and the more that you love not only them, but yourself and your world, the more you love, the more in service you are to this world, because that's what it's all about. Flowing that love into everything. Have you ever heard of the Sufi poet Rumi?
Yes.
Sufism is one of my favorite religions. Although it doesn't dictate a lot of doctrine, the concept, the premise behind Sufism is to love your world. Because the truth is that every particle that you see that makes up the matter that you see around you, every particle is actually intelligent love. And if you look at that, like the Native American Indians, they knew that everything was alive. They knew that everything was in motion. And the whole focus of talking to life and having an interchange and loving the chair you're sitting on, loving the air that you're breathing, loving the walls and the ceiling and the trees and the cars and the street and the sky. I mean, it turns your world into heaven. Gratitude turns your world into heaven.
Mm-hmm. And with that said, you know, I want to thank you for being on the show this week. It's amazing how quickly an hour goes. So thank you for being here and for sharing this great teachings and everything on Thanksgiving to all the families and a listening audience out there, and for the people who listen to this on the three plays later.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me and creating this beautiful show, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
Excellent. I'd like to thank everybody for being here this evening. You're actually listening to Spirit Connection Radio. You can find us on the internet to take a look at our radio website, which is spiritualconnectionradio.com. And with that, I'm going to close out with our favorite song, and I wish everybody a safe and happy holiday. And thanks again, Pam, for being here.
Oh, thank you. Same to you, Mark. Happy holiday.
Happy holidays, everybody. And remember, you're never alone.
Deepest. life is but a dream.